Alrighty, guys, welcome back to the show. Now, you guys know on two of the last three podcast episodes, I have been teasing you guys about this big project or this secret project that I've been working on behind the scenes. And if you follow the show on Instagram, you guys know that for the past 2.5 weeks, I've been dropping hints and clues about this big project we've been working on behind the scenes ever since I left Magic Kingdom late at night on January 22nd when I was down there to ride Splash Mountain. On its final day, this project has been in the works. So as of Thursday of last week, we kind of put all our cards on the table. We pulled back that curtain, told you guys everything that we were working on. And this is the podcast episode where I'm going to bring you that information. Because I know not all the podcast audience crosses over into Instagram, and not all the Instagram audience crosses back onto the podcast. So for you guys out there that are podcast focused and you're here checking out the show again this week, thank you so much as always for coming back to check out the DMSW podcast. But I am not going to make you guys wait any longer. Colby, give them that music, buddy. We got to tell these guys what this big secret is. Fire it up. My name is Johnny J, and this is episode 43 of the DMSW podcast. So what do you guys say? You ready to find out here on the podcast what this big surprise is that we have been working on behind the scenes? I think the way I'm going to do it for you guys here on the podcast is basically I'm just going to tell you exactly what the surprise is and kind of give you a very quick overview of what we're trying to plan. And then we'll go back in time here to explain how we got to that situation and how we came up with that idea and where things are at today and where we hope to take them over the next few weeks and months here. But basically what this big surprise is that we have been working on is that first off, I partnered up with Hannah from the Learning Disney podcast, and we contacted the Chalk Foundation out in California, which is the Children's Hospital of Orange County. And we are going to do a massive fundraising event over these next few months, all leading up to a final fundraising event at Disneyland, whenever the day comes where we find out they are shutting down Splash Mountain for their final day, just like we had here at Magic Kingdom last month at the end of January. So whenever that date comes, we're going to plan a big, massive meetup out on the West Coast in Disneyland. So podcasters, travel agents, Disney small shop owners, Disney content creators, or just Disney fans, just podcast listeners, whoever you are, if you want to come out to California with us, if you want to hang out for the day, we're all going to get a group t-shirt. We're all going to hang out together. And everybody that wants to ride Splash Mountain with us all day, that's the main plan here from our team and our organization. What we're trying to do is we're just going to ride Splash all day long for that final day at the park and try to raise funds all the way right up to that last minute when the park closes that night. But like I said, if Splash Mountain's not your ride, but you still want to come out there and hang out with us for the day, by all means, come and go as you please. Hang out with us, ride the ride, grab lunch with us, whatever. But we're just basically going to throw a massive party right there in Disneyland whenever that day comes where we find out that they are shutting down Splash for their final day. But leading up to that, we're trying to get the word out now. We're going to try to grow this team, get more people involved with us to come on board and make this a part of your thing as well, because what we're calling this organization is Podcast Mics for Magic, because we have so many friends and so many contacts here now in the Disney podcast community. We're hoping that from us starting this and trying to fire people up, we're hoping to inspire our fellow podcasters to get on board and join the team with us here and really strive for that teamwork makes the dream work type of mantra here. And we're hoping the more people that get involved, the more money we can raise for this awesome charity. So let's go all the way back in time now to January 22nd, back when I was down in Magic Kingdom riding Splash Mountain for its final day. And It was just a different day in the park altogether. The scene at Rope Drop was absolute chaos, total insanity. It was easily the craziest Rope Drop experience that I've ever had at the park. You would have thought, I think I texted my wife from the park there that morning and said, you would have thought that they told everybody in the parks that we were about to go into an apocalyptic event and the last water on Earth was over at Splash Mountain, the way people absolutely bombarded that section of the park. And the weird thing is, it honestly felt like Disney was almost maybe underprepared for the surge, the crowd surge that they were going to get right there at Rope Drop, because every section of the park just had people flowing all into the bridge area that crosses over from Frontierland over to where the Splash Mountain standby entrance is, and the entire bridge was just wall-to-wall people. So it took a few minutes, but eventually security and other cast members showed up, and they were able to get things much better organized. They set up some external roping. They put those tape lines down on the ground and really try to get people more in line and get some form going through everything. And they created a path so people could get through and get back into the Big Thunder area. And like I said, eventually after that first 20, 30 minutes or so of the day, everything calmed down a little bit. And then from then on out for the rest of the day, it really was just a completely different experience for me in the parks that I've ever experienced before. It almost felt like you could just feel that there's something extra special going on that day in the park. You could really just pick up on the magic that was kind of in the air. And even riding through or walking through the queue for Splash, it felt like people were more engaged with each other. And you saw so many different people there dressed up like the characters from the ride. You saw people with plush characters from Br'er Rabbit and Br'er Fox and Br'er Bear and all that. And everybody was taking pictures of every little bit and piece of the decoration. Anywhere there was a sign with Br'er Rabbit on it, people were snapping pictures. So again, just all day long, you could just really sense that there was just a different atmosphere in the air, and people could really sense that they were there experiencing something very special in the parks for the very last time. This is a ride that has been part of our Disney history for over 30 years now. Most of us have memories riding this as a kid with our families or friends from previous trips. And if you're like me, if you're a parent that's traveled to the park with your kids, you have memories riding this ride with your kids. That was a big part of this reason, or a big part of this ride being one of my favorite rides ever, was my first trip down to Walt Disney World with my kids. One of my twin daughters absolutely fell in love with this ride. And one of the nights that we were there at Magic Kingdom, she had been begging, "I just want to do Splash over and over and over again." So coming towards the end of the night at the park, some of the other kids were a little bit more tired. So my wife said, "Why don't you just take Sydney on and just let her ride it a whole bunch of times?" So we rode it, I think, 6 or 7 times with each other to close out the park there that night. Just as soon as we get off, we get right back on the ride again. Even a couple of times, the crowd was so low, they just let us stay right in the log and go right through and ride it again. And eventually, right near the end there, the logs kind of started backing up before that big drop, the big hill there, Chickapin Hill. And my daughter actually fell asleep in my arms right there in the log, cuddled up next to me on the ride while we waited for our turn to climb up the big hill there. So just so many memories for me personally on this ride with my family and in my past trips. And you could, like I said, you just could feel that in the air from everybody else there as well. You could overhear other people talking about their favorite trip on the ride or their first time on the ride. And there was just that atmosphere and that magic all throughout the park all day long. And it really got to be intense towards the end of the night. That last half hour, 45 minutes or so before the park closed, everybody that had ridden the ride for their last time, they weren't leaving the park. As they would come off the ride and come out the exit, people were just filling up over the bridges and all around the area where the exit of the ride is. And every time a log would come over that hill, everybody on the bridges would be giving them just a standing ovation and clapping and cheering for them. And then everybody in the logs would be clapping and cheering back. And it was just so awesome. And it was such a unique experience, and just I was so lucky to be there in the parks to get to experience it myself. And after gonna, you know, my idea was to try to be the one of the last people, or if not the last person, the last park guest. I put it that way because we all assumed, I think, that once the park closed at 11 and they processed through all the guests in line, there'd probably be a whole bunch of cast members that would want to come over and ride it for the last time. And that's the way it should be. The cast members are there putting up with all the different park guests all day long, week after week, day after day, holidays, doesn't matter. So they deserve to be the last people that get to ride the ride. But in my head, I wanted to be the last park guest that got to ride the ride. And at that time, I was kind of hanging out with CJ from the Park to Park podcast, and we kind of started going over near that standby line entrance around 10:30, 10:45 or so, just to kind of get a sense of what the atmosphere was like and what the crowd was like. And it was very clear at that time of night that probably a few hundred, if not close to 1,000 other people, all had the same idea. They wanted to try to be the last park guest to get on that ride as well. So at that point, you know, I had a flight the next morning. It was supposed to leave Orlando at 6:30, and the posted time on the ride was about 180 minutes. So I kind of talked it over with CJ and I said, listen, if that thing is accurate and that's really 180 minutes that we're gonna have to be in line, it's quite clear that we're not going to be the last person or the last park guest to get to be on this ride. Let's just get in line right now and just get it over with. So we jumped in line. And luckily, it actually only ended up being about 40 or 42 minutes from the time we entered the standby queue to actually getting on the log and having our last trip down. But it was just a really, really cool experience. I got to ride it 3 times that day. And the other cool part about this trip was I got to meet a whole bunch of other Disney podcasters as well. I met with Scott and Karen from the Mickey File podcast. I met with KG from the Living the KG Life podcast. Got to meet Dave and Veronica from the Disney Crush podcast, and also, like I said, got to hang out with CJ from the Park to Park podcast as well there for that final trip down Chicopin Hill. So was very lucky, very touched that all those podcasters gave up time from their day to come hang out with me and get to meet me in person. And it was one of the most fun things that I've ever got to do while in Walt Disney World. So after riding the ride, getting that whole experience, walking out of that park, right about midnight or so, getting on the bus to head back to my hotel, my brain was going a billion miles an hour. And after that entire day-long experience of getting to be there and have those conversations and those experiences with the other park guests there, after meeting the other podcasters and seeing the crowd form over the bridge, like I said, just the brain just would not turn off. And I was just trying to think of how can I duplicate this experience. It felt like a once in a lifetime experience. And I mean, that's the point of any once in a lifetime experience, is you want to find, is there any possible way you can make that once in a lifetime, maybe twice in a lifetime type of thing. So in the back of my head, I start thinking now, hey, you know, Disneyland has this version of the ride too. They're going to have to turn theirs off at some point as well. And if once the word gets out, and these videos get out of these people celebrating and clapping for everybody on the bridge, I think it's only going to build towards the excitement even more so on the Disneyland side. So I want to give some credit here to Bethany. She is one half of the Moms with Magic on Instagram. Her personal account, her personal Disney account, is Moms with Magic Plans. She's a Disney travel agent. So if you want to reach out to Bethany, you can find her at Moms with Magic Plans. And I was chatting with her through Instagram DMs because she had saw one of the stories that I posted of all the people on the bridge cheering and clapping, and she responded to that picture or that story slide and said, oh, I hope everybody in Disneyland celebrates like that when it closes down on their side. And that's kind of really when that idea first started turning in my head of, you know, this is maybe my opportunity. This is how we get to do this once-in-a-lifetime experience a second time, and maybe there's a way I can get out to the West Coast and get to try this again when Disneyland shuts it down. And then I had kind of responded to her and said, you know, the other fun part of this trip was getting to meet all these other podcasters. So if there's some way I find a way to come out there to the West Coast and get to do this whole experience again on Splash's last day, we got to try to round up as many other podcasters or Disney content creators or Disney small shop owners that we can and really throw a big party and all hang out together and have a ton of fun out there when Disneyland shuts it down on their side. And then just from there, it, like I said, after getting back to the hotel, getting up early the next morning on the flight, it just kept going and going and going from there. And I think a few weeks ago when I did the Avatar episode and I reviewed the Way of Water, I kind of let you guys in on a little personal history with my family. And I said to you guys that the first time we became parents, we had twin boys that were born 13 weeks premature. And it was a really scary start for us. The older of the two twin boys, Connor, passed away when he was just 2 days old. And the younger of the twins, Colby, who's now my almost 14-year-old son, he spent 110 days in the NICU, in the hospital, in Boston, before we were able to bring him home with us. So the way parenting and that part of our, or that chapter of our life started out for us was just so emotional and life-changing. And we got involved with the March of Dimes charity back then, because March of Dimes is so heavily involved with premature babies and trying to help as many families as they can, medical research, all the different hospitals supporting them, any way they can to give babies the best chance possible that are born premature to having a, not only living through that experience and getting to come home from the hospital, but having the best life possible that they can have. So it was kind of a no-brainer for us after what we had been through to get kind of heavily involved with the March of Dimes. And they were doing a walk, or they would do charity walks all throughout the country, but we got involved obviously with the Boston chapter, and we did that March of Dimes Boston walk a few years in a row. And there were a couple of years there where we really went pretty hardcore for trying to fundraise for them and bring them as much money as we could. In one of the years, we even raised over $10,000. And it was really a cool life experience to be able to put your support and your effort into a charity organization like that and really help bring a lot of funds to their cause and help them help a lot of other babies and other families. And one of that year that we raised the $10,000 to kind of help us get there at one point, whereas my brain, again, back then, was going a million miles an hour trying to think, how can I think outside the box? What can I do here to try to raise some extra money and really kind of get some exposure to what we're trying to do here to try to bring in some more donations from people? And at that time, we were living up in northern Massachusetts, right on the New Hampshire border, and we had a big blizzard that was supposed to be coming in, one of those massive nor'easters that they knew days and days ahead of time that it was going to be a monster storm. So I kind of talked to my wife ahead of time and said, I'm going to do something with this storm, and I'm going to do something kind of crazy here, but I think it's safe, and I think it'll be kind of fun to kind of think outside the box here and try to do something fun to really crank up these donations and get some people to that haven't donated yet to maybe finally step up and give our team a donation. So I kind of back then was mostly Facebook and even Twitter, posting all about, hey, when this storm hits, I'm going outside on a lawn chair and I'm just going to hang out outside in the blizzard until I raise $1,000. So if you haven't had a chance to donate yet to our March of Dimes team, now's your chance to step up and help me out here, because I don't want to have to sit outside in a blizzard all day. So I started reaching out to, and again, that time, that was that point in my life where Disney wasn't really a big hobby or a massive interest for me at that time. It was all about sports, sports, sports. So I was using Twitter to reach out to local sports writers online, sports writers in the newspapers. I was reaching out to the sports radio host, and I was telling them what I was going to do. And it was really cool. A couple of them actually picked up on it. They talked about it on one of the local sports radio stations, and a writer for the Boston Globe reached out to me on Twitter, found out what was going on. He shared it through his feed, and that really helped bring up a lot of new donations as well. So I was able to break that $1,000 barrier. So that was a pretty cool moment. Got me out of the freezing cold and the blizzard to come back in the house. But it felt really cool to be able to do not only something good for the March of Dimes and raise over $10,000 as an entire team, thanks to all our friends and family that stepped up and helped us raise that money, but then to think outside the box and do that extra little thing to bring in that $1,000 on that one day for doing that one single event. And then the other thing that was kind of running through my head was a friend of this podcast and some of the other Disney podcasts. I know you guys have heard me mention the Mickey File podcast and the Disney Crush podcast and the Geekin' on WDW podcast. There's a guy out there named Travis Dietrich, and he raised a ton of money for the Give Kids the World Foundation, which is very heavily involved with the Walt Disney World Resort. And if you know Travis, he absolutely hates the It's a Small World ride. So what he did was kind of almost what I was trying to do with my kind of Blizzard event. And he was basically kind of punishing himself and saying, I hate It's a Small World, so I'm going to punish myself, go into Magic Kingdom for the day, and I'm going to do nothing but ride It's a Small World all day long. And you guys use my punishment to fuel me to get these donations up for Give Kids the World. And like I said, Travis raised a ton of money. He worked super, super hard to reach out to a bunch of different podcasts and to get out there and get his message out there. And he did some really cool things. And part of what they did with his event there was they started they put together a T-shirt. So anybody that raised a certain amount of money, they would put your logo on the back of his T-shirt there. And they put the really cool thing I thought that they did, one of those outside the box moments, was they thought to put the QR code for his donation page right on the sleeve of the T-shirt. And he wore that T-shirt, and Scott and Karen from the Mickey File podcast ended up hanging out with him for the day while he did the ride, and they had the shirts on as well. So it helped get the word out right there in the parks. And Travis talked about talking to different people while he was in line or while he was on the ride, and even had a few people zap that QR code and give him a donation right there on the spot while he was in the park. So all of these things kind of building in my head over the excitement of Splash. And eventually it didn't take long for me to kind of put it all together and figure out we should do a massive charity event in Disneyland centered around this excitement for this ride closing down and do the same type of thing. Let's first find a charity that we can work with and that is worthwhile to raise funds for, and then plan a massive event at Disneyland for the end of Splash and ride that wave of excitement and do the same thing. Get a T-shirt going. Get anybody that throws their support behind what we're trying to do to get their name out there. Put that on the T-shirt. And same thing, just like Travis and his fundraiser did, put that QR code on the sleeve. And then we're hoping that when that day comes and we get to go out to Disneyland and do this big party, that we can really make that one big final push. I mean, we're hoping to get thousands and thousands of dollars raised ahead of time. We're hoping to get as many podcasts to jump on and everybody else in the Disney community as well to jump on and really feel like this is the whole focus here is teamwork makes the dream work, because the more people that get involved, the more people that get passionate and feel like you're a member of this team and this is a cause that you can feel like you can put your name behind and push to your following on Instagram or to your friends and family to help raise money for the Chalk Foundation, then it's all going to the right place here. And we'll all build on each other, and hopefully we'll get a domino effect going of friends helping friends and the donations coming in and really getting that number up there high for the Chalk Foundation. So you've heard me mention the Chalk Foundation now multiple times. Who is the Chalk Foundation, and why did Hannah and I choose that to be the charity that we support for this event? So first off, CHOC is CHOC, which is the Children's Hospital of Orange County. Now, why would somebody want to donate to CHOC? CHOC improves the health and well-being of children through clinical expertise, advocacy, outreach, education, and research. With compassionate experts in countless care specialties, they preserve the magic of childhood. CHOC is there for families every step of the way along their journeys to wellness, allowing kids to get back to being kids. Now, if you're the other thing you might be worried about or wondering about with CHOC is if you donate to that charity, where does the money go? So if you donate to CHOC, they basically put the money into four different areas. The first is leadership and education, where they support the recruitment and development of the best and brightest doctors in the field of children's health. The second key area is the innovative technology area. It is where they help their physicians stay ahead of the latest technological advancements. The third key area is groundbreaking research, where they give children access to advanced medical treatments and the latest cures as soon as humanly possible. And the fourth key area is patient and family-centered care. They do everything that they can over there at CHOC for the families to soothe and empower their patients and their loved ones through the entire patient journey while they're there at the hospital getting taken care of. So already right off the bat, everything that CHOC stands for and everything that CHOC supports is exactly the type of charity that we wanted to get involved with. But there were three other areas that were very important to Hannah and I while we were trying to narrow down and pick exactly which foundation or which charity that we wanted to throw our support behind. And one of the first things was we wanted to have a direct connection to the Disneyland community, if possible, because we knew that this big party, this big final event for the fundraiser was going to take place at Disneyland for Splash's last day. So ideally, if we could find that charity organization that had a tie in the Disney community already, we felt like that would be a very easy way to already get the Disney community excited to donate and support this charity. But easily the two most important things that we were looking for in the charity was, number one, it had to have an absolutely crystal clear record through all those different websites that rate the charities and really go down and break down where your money goes and is it being used for what it's supposed to be and what they advertise. And you can do all the research you want on the CHOC Foundation and the Children's Hospital of Orange County itself. They get absolutely crystal clear, stellar reviews through all the different charity rating websites that are out there. So we were very happy to find out that CHOC Foundation, number one, is already tied with the Disneyland community. They do a lot of fundraising work with Disneyland directly, and it gets absolutely crystal clear reviews, like I said, through all those different charity organizations as well. But then the last piece of the puzzle here, which made us know that CHOC was definitely going to be the fundraiser that we wanted to team up with, was that through their website, they allow us to create a fundraising website so that we don't have to touch any of the money whatsoever. We know that charity is one of those things where the waters can get pretty muddy very fast, and people want to help each other out. They want to help out a good charity, but it's one of those places where it can very quickly turn people into a state of being uncomfortable or unsure of what they're getting involved with. And we just knew that we didn't want to have to do something where it was, okay, we started a GoFundMe page, send your money to our GoFundMe, and then we promise we'll make sure the money goes to the right way or the right place. And we didn't want to have to come out and say, okay, we started this Venmo account or this Cash App account, send all your money here and just trust us that we'll get it to the right place. We just didn't want to have to put people in that awkward position of feeling like they don't really know where the money's going or can they trust that it's really going to the place it's supposed to be. So we were so, so excited when we found out that through the CHOC Foundation, we could give them our information and we could get set up with them, and they would literally give us a website that we could share out there with you guys. So all you have to do is go to this website address, and you'll be able to put in your PayPal information or your credit card information or however you want to give them your donation, and the money goes directly to the CHOC Foundation, and none of us have to touch it whatsoever. There's no third party involved here. It's just, hey, if you want to help out and you want to support what we're doing here, here's our link, and it goes directly to the CHOC Foundation. So those three things were all those boxes were checked with the CHOC Foundation. So we were very excited here building up to this big announcement that we finally found the exact charity foundation that we were going to be working with. So then the next piece became, okay, when do we tell people what we're working on here and where do we take it from there? And we debated back and forth, should we wait until Disney announces the set date and then kind of put all the information out there and really try to get the ball rolling? Or do we just hurry up and announce it now, try to start fundraising now, and then kind of let the chips fall where they may once the announcement comes out on when Disneyland's final day for Splash would be? So we thought that when it happened in Walt Disney World, they announced it far enough ahead of time where we could have got some good stuff done and had some time to work up some fundraising efforts before we had to go to the parks and have that final day. But we just didn't know if that was going to be the same case in Disneyland. There's nothing to say that Disneyland doesn't just all of a sudden announce one day that, hey, in 1 week's time, we're shutting down our version of Splash, or in 2 weeks' time. And we just didn't want a chance waiting and finding out that the window is so tiny that it makes us lose any momentum that we would have had a chance to build up to leading up to that final day in the park. So we just went back and forth and talked about it, and we thought that the best option for us would be to, you know, come up with a game plan here, get as many boxes checked as we could behind the scenes, and then pick a day and finally make that announcement, tell people what we're doing. And like I said, we really want to promote that teamwork makes the dream work type of idea with this entire project. We don't want anybody to think, okay, this is Hannah and Johnny's fundraiser. Let's support Hannah and Johnny. We want you guys to take ownership of this and feel like it's just as much your thing as it is our thing. And just think of us as just the two people that kind of got the idea kicked off and organized the website with Chalk Foundation and got it rolling. But we want everybody that wants to get involved and wants to step up, like I said, to feel like this is just as much your charity event and your charity fundraiser and your charity team as it is ours. So don't ever think about that you have to pitch it as, look what Johnny and Hannah did, support Johnny and Hannah. Think about it as, hey, I am joining this team. Support me. Support me fundraising for the Chalk Foundation. That's how we want you guys to think about what's going on here. But all right, now let's go back in time a little bit again. So now we've decided that we know it's going to be the Chalk Foundation that we work with. We decided that we're going to announce it ahead of time, and we're going to tell people through our Instagram account and really try to get the people fired up here to start fundraising ahead of time before we even know when that final day of Splash is. So then it became, okay, how do we, you know, try to get people excited? And we thought the best thing we can do is really try to get that excitement going and almost tease people. And like I said, let people know that there's some special project that we're working on here behind the scenes to hopefully get more and more people excited and willing to pay attention to really focus in on what we're trying to do here. And then it just happened to work out that the way the dates fell on the calendar is that Hannah had already had a vacation planned with her husband. They're going to be out of town for a few days. So we knew we were going to have to stretch those hints for a few more days before we could really make that announcement, because it was important to us that we did it together on Instagram Live, so you guys could see our faces and we could give you the kind of the backstory of how we came up with this idea and what it means to us and why we want you guys to get on board to help us raise money for this very awesome foundation. So the first thing we really started doing was just on our own, dropping a little teeny tiny hints here and there through our podcast or through our Instagram feed that we were working on something behind the scenes. And through the whole planning process of picking the foundation and when we're going to tell people and all this stuff, I'm the type of person that just hates having to have a surprise. I just want to put it all out there and just get everybody fired up and on the same page with me right from the beginning. So I told Hannah at one point, I felt like Roger Rabbit in the movie there when he's hiding behind the wall with Eddie Valiant and Judge Doom is coming around with his cane and he's knocking it on the walls and the counters and he's doing the shave and a haircut, and Roger Rabbit just wants to scream two bits and just come flying out behind the wall, and he eventually does that. So I put together a reel on Instagram because, like I said, at this point I had already been dropping little hints that I was working on a special project behind the scenes, but I didn't even tell people who I had teamed up with on this special project. So I put the reel out there of Roger Rabbit from the movie going nuts behind the wall there while the shave and haircut is going on. And then kind of the very first hint that came out was that I posted that reel, and then Hannah shared that reel to her stories, and she kind of posted like with a little gif there of like, shh, don't tell anybody, and we have this secret that's coming out pretty soon. So if anybody out there had followed both my account and Hannah's account, you would have been one of the first people to get that clue that, okay, this thing that Johnny's been talking about, or this thing that Hannah's been talking about, look at this. We're starting to put the pieces together. It's these two different podcasts that are teaming up on this thing. But not very many people caught that that clue there that went out. So then the next piece of the puzzle that we put out there for you guys was what we did was we took Hannah's podcast logo and we removed the lettering for Learning Disney across the bottom. And we put the DMSW podcast, those letters in the same exact font style and with the different colors, just like I have it on my logo, but we applied it to her artwork for her podcast logo. And then we did the same thing for her podcast as well. So we took my podcast artwork and my podcast logo, removed the DMSW, and we replaced it with Learning Disney. So at that point, I shared Hannah's artwork, but with my podcast name, and she shared my podcast artwork, but with her name, to our own individual Instagram feeds, but we didn't tag each other as collaborators. We didn't share the posts on each other's stories, so we just posted it individually. And it was really funny for us at that point because there were accounts that followed just me or knew my podcast that did not know about Hannah or her podcast yet, and the same thing on her side. There were accounts that followed her podcast and her Instagram that had no idea who my podcast was. So I had people guessing through my post, hey, this is a pink castle. This is maybe a hint that you have a female joining your show. Maybe your wife's going to join and be your co-host. So we had a lot of good laughs there with everybody's guesses on what they thought that this pink logo was going to be for my show. Somebody on Hannah's post posted, oh, hey, this looks like a new logo. This looks really neat. So it was fun to see how our different followings were reacting with these posts on each other's pages. And there were a couple people that do follow both of us at the same time that the lights instantly went off when they saw this part of the post. And they knew right away what was going on and that it was going to be something with our two podcasts crossing over and working together on something. But there were a couple other little hints behind the scenes as well that we snuck in there as well. So if you're familiar with my podcast logo, you have the blue stripe, the red stripe, and the yellow stripe with the Disney logos, the Marvel logos, and the Star Wars logos. So on my artwork, I removed the little Pixar lamp from my logo, and I replaced it with a shadow of the Brer Rabbit riding on the log from Splash Mountain. And then on Hannah's logo, it's the Disneyland castle, and they have a couple of different flagpoles coming off the spires on the top of the castle there. One of the flags, I did the same thing. I took the Brer Rabbit riding in the log, but I turned it to the same color as the white flags that are on her logo, and I shrunk it down real small and just kind of put it in place of where one of those flags were. So we kind of hit a couple little Brer Rabbit Easter eggs in there as well. And then the wording that we used on these posts too, we used to who's ready for a turbulent adventure. And if you're familiar with the Splash Mountain ride, there's a couple of different big signs as you're going through the ride queue there, through the standby queue, where they mention that Splash is a turbulent water adventure. So we try to use that same wording to try to let people know, and like I said, hiding those Brer Rabbits in there, that whatever we're working on here is somehow going to involve Brer Rabbit and Splash Mountain. So that was kind of our next clue that we dropped out there. And then people started figuring it out. People were catching on to that Brer Rabbit hidden in the logo there. So it kind of, people were playing a detective a little bit better than I think we gave them credit for. So we knew we had X amount of days where we had to stretch these clues out over. And I think we thought that we were going to have maybe 2 or 3 days where we could stretch the Splash Mountain clues out over. And right out of the gate on that first day, by that night, we had people DMing both of us saying, okay, I know it involves both of your podcasts, and I know it involves Splash Mountain because I can see Brer Rabbit in the logo there. So kind of the cat was out of the bag there. We kind of lost a chance to stretch those Splash Mountain clues. So we had another one kind of in the on-deck circle with a picture of a chick, a picture of a single pin, and then a picture of a hill. So kind of put them all together, chick, a pin, hill. So we threw that one out there kind of last minute as well to let people know. But then we, like I said, at that point, Hannah was heading out for a family vacation. She was going to be out of town for a few days. So at that point, we were almost in rough shape. We had to go through multiple days, and we knew we were going to have to stretch a clue. So like I said, we we started a new Instagram account and a new email to kind of keep everything organized through this charity event. And anytime we had a new announcement that we wanted to put out there, we knew we would be putting it out through the Instagram feed. And we also knew that we were going to be trying to reach out to different people along the way to try to help us fundraise and different businesses to work with us to help us out through different things. So we came up with a new logo of a microphone with some hearts kind of going into the microphone, which to us, that symbolized us as the podcasters kind of putting our love and passion for all things Disney into our microphones through our podcast. And then on the other side of the microphone was kind of some pixie dust coming out of that other side of that microphone. So like I said, it was kind of us putting our passion for Disney into what we say on our podcast in hopes that it would turn into pixie dust for people on the other side. So we took that logo that we came up with, that podcast Mike's Four Magic logo, and we did our best to stretch that out over multiple days. So when you look at the logo from far away, it looks like what you would think pixie dust would look like from Tinkerbell flying through there and kind of throwing a little cloud of dust coming out of the microphone. But the problem is when you zoom in very close, the way the artist kind of did the logo or the pixie dust looking drawing, when you zoom in super close, it's little X's and O's in two different colors. And obviously we're coming into February at this point, so all the guesses were centered around, it's got something to do with Valentine's Day. You're going to make an announcement on Valentine's Day. It's got something to do with Splash, and you're going to do a podcast collaboration episode on Valentine's Day where you talk about Splash Mountain because you guys love that ride so much. And the next day didn't help either, because the next day we used the hearts from the other side of the microphone there. So back-to-back days we have which to us looks like pixie dust, but to anybody else that has never seen the logo from the regular zoomed out position, it looks like X's and O's, and then the next day is hearts. So we were completely throwing people off now at this point. And if that wasn't enough to mess with people, the third day we zoomed in on just the very corner of the microphone, and we zoomed in, I think, far enough that nobody could even remotely guess that it was a microphone. So at this point, we had gone 3 days in a row with really vague and kind of obscure clues here. And I think at this point, people were starting to almost maybe get a little bit frustrated with us. But again, we kind of burned through those Splash Mountain clues a lot faster than we thought. You guys are better detectives than we gave you credit for. And the next day after that, the next post that we did was we just took the letters from this new logo, from this new account that we started called Podcast Mics for Magic, and we just used those letters from the font, and we took the P, the M, the F, and the M, and the P and the two M's are capital and the F is lowercase. So at this point, that's when it really started getting fun, I think, for us. We knew we were getting close to the end, and people were having fun with it now, and all the different guesses that we got for what those PM FM letters stood for. Some of them were family friendly, some of them were not family friendly, as you could imagine, with the letter F being in there as well. So we had a lot of good laughs over some of the different guesses that people were making on that there. And then for our final clue that we left out there was, because if you're familiar with the Chalk Foundation, their logo is a teddy bear, and right in the name there, Chalk is, like I said, the Children's Hospital of Orange County. So the final clue that we put out there the day before we did our Instagram Live was we took a teddy bear and we had the teddy bear holding an orange in its lap for the picture. And we put that over that new Podcast Mics for Magic logo. So the main focus was the teddy bear with the orange, but you could also see the hearts from one of the clues. You could see the pixie dust from one of the clues. And you could see a couple pieces of some of the letters from this new logo. So all in all, it was really fun. It was a great experience to put all these clues together. Like I said, if ideally you guys probably wouldn't have guessed Splash Mountain so quickly. I think we could have stretched those splash clues another couple of days out there. Would have made it a little bit easier to get through. But everybody was really patient with us and had a ton of fun with all their different guesses and shooting us DMs, driving us both to do everything we could to spill the beans secretly to people behind the scenes. So it really was a fun experience there for those couple of weeks, where once we kind of finalized a lot of this stuff behind the scenes and we knew what we were going to do, and then getting to see everybody, I mean, it worked perfectly. Everybody was really getting behind it and getting excited and really couldn't wait. So on Thursday of last week, we finally put the Instagram Live together, and late on the East Coast here, it was 10:30 p.m. our time on the East Coast, 7:30 p.m. out there on Disneyland time. Hannah from the Learning Disney podcast and myself, we did an Instagram Live together, and we put same thing that I'm doing here now. We put all the secrets out there on the table. We pulled back that curtain and told everybody what was going on. And from that night on, it has been absolutely mind-blowing, the support and the outreach that people have been doing for us. We have got we couldn't even keep up with the amount of DMs and people reaching out to us after we made the announcement that night. Everybody has been incredibly supportive, and it just made us feel like we did the right thing here. We might have came up with the idea and organized it to kind of get it started, but we knew with this Disney community, it doesn't take much to get people fired up to want to help each other and do some good in the world. So we could not be more excited to kind of keep this thing going here over the next few weeks and months leading up to the final day of Splash out there in California. We've already had, it's only been a few days. Like I said, we announced it on very late on Thursday night. We already have over $2,000 raised. So for the people out there that have already stepped up and already started throwing money at this and have already made your personal donations, we can't thank you enough. Your support just to help the team and push this through your Instagram feeds and your podcast, that alone is just something that we'll never be able to pay you back or thank you for. But for the people that have already started stepping up and already putting their money on the line and putting money into these donations, it's just incredible. It's just, we never thought we would see the totals raise up this fast. And I think when Hannah and I were talking about ahead of time, we said, you know, I think the ultimate, like, just shoot for the stars type of goal is maybe we could potentially get up to $50,000. And we were convinced that, well, we did a good job convincing ourselves that, you know, if enough other podcasters out there got behind this idea and supported it just like we were going to, we wouldn't have to really feel like we had to raise $50,000. We were thinking if we can get 10 podcasts involved and each podcast raise $5,000, and you do the math out, there's your $50,000 right there. So we were confident that, you know, kind of like I said, it was going to be a long shot, but, you know, maybe there's a chance we could get it up to over $50,000. And then just like I said, we were blown away that within the first 24 hours, we had already had over $2,000. That people had kicked in and donated to right to the Chalk Foundation. Like I said, the website is set up, the money goes right to the Chalk Foundation. So it couldn't have got off to a better start. There's so many people have reached out, and it got to the point where we were DMing people back saying basically like, thank you so much for reaching out, number one, but, you know, bear with us here. We're going to need at least 3 or 4 days to kind of catch up on all these different DMs. We're trying to get it all organized through an Excel sheet so we can kind of keep track of everybody, and we make sure we're keeping the lines of communication open with everybody, and we don't forget anybody that stepped up and reached out to us. So, you know, continue if you can to bear with us here for another couple of days where we finish catching up through all the different DMs, get everything organized. And ideally here going forward, if you're a fellow podcaster in the Disney community, even if you're not in the Disney community, but you're a podcaster that's kind of inspired by what we're trying to do here, let us know, reach out. And if we can come on your show and Hannah and I take a few minutes to kind of give a pitch for what we're trying to do here and let your audience and let your listeners know what we're doing here, we'd love to share the new Instagram feed that we started to kind of support this organization and this team that we started, because that's where the website is going to be located. That you can very easily click on to go make your donations. And again, it's going to be the easiest way for you guys that want to get involved and want to help the team communicate with us back and forth. It's one centralized location that Hannah and I are both sharing so that we can stay on top of all the DMs that are coming in and all the comments on the post, so we can kind of work with you guys hand in hand and really kind of keep the train on the tracks here and do the best we can as a team to all be focused on the end destination here of building up towards that final day in Disneyland when Splash is closing down and we put that big party together. So, you know, at this point, That's basically everything we got up to date now. If you are somebody that listens to this podcast that has connections within the t-shirt industry, that is probably the next kind of big domino that we need to fall in this puzzle here that we're putting together. Like I said, I was super, super impressed, and I thought it was an awesome idea that Travis came up with when he did that for his fundraiser for Give Kids the World and Walt Disney World, and we want to take that t-shirt idea to this same thing as well. And we're really hoping that when all is said and done, we get, you know, best case scenario, 20, 30, maybe 40 people to all meet with us out there in California when the final day of this fundraiser comes. And we're hoping everybody that comes will be able to wear the same t-shirt, get all these different podcast logos and small shop logos and travel agents and their Instagram handles all on the backs of the shirt, and get that QR code on the sleeve. So that final day in the parks, we can use that time in the queue of Splash Mountain to really kind of talk to people face to face and get them to zap that sleeve and make a donation right there as well. And we really hope that we can make that one final push and bring in some big bucks there on the final day. So if you are out there, if you are a t-shirt small shop, or you have connections to a t-shirt small shop, or you know somebody that would love to help out with this charity organization, please point them in our direction and have them reach out so that we can work with them and talk to them about what our ideas are with this t-shirt and kind of get a time frame going here. So once we find that find out when that final day for the ride is going to be in California, that'll help all of our timeline pieces fall into place, and we'll be able to put set dates on all these different things that we're working on to say, okay, hey, if you're trying to get a shirt, you need to have it in by this day, or if you're trying to do this other piece with us, you have to have an answer to us by this day. So the timeline is just all up in the air right now because we don't know when that final day is. Right now, the focus is just recruiting people to come join the team and help get the fundraising efforts going. So if you're out there and you have a connection to the Chalk Foundation, or you just believe in what the Chalk Foundation is doing and you want to help out, the number one thing that you could do to get involved is go look us up on Instagram at Podcast Mics for Magic. All one word, no underlines or dots, just at Podcast Mics for Magic is where you're going to be able to find us. You can also send us an email. We have a Gmail account set up under the same name, podcastmics4magic@gmail.com. So now you're up to speed. That pretty much, like I said, that gives you kind of everything that we've put out on the table. It's everything that we talked about on the Instagram Live on Thursday. And it kind of gives you a little bit of the next few things that we're trying to work on here as well. We have some other small shops that have already stepped up. They're going to be doing things with their products and their small shop. So definitely, like I said, go check out that Instagram feed. Hannah's going to be doing a post tomorrow. We have our first small shop that is stepping up to help us out. We have Elisa from the Bashfully Ever After company. She does bracelets, and she's going to be doing some really cool things with her bracelets for this charity event. So keep an eye on the Instagram feed tomorrow. Hannah's going to put all the details in there, and we cannot thank Elisa enough for stepping up and being willing to help us out. Also want to make sure we shout out to Tracy and Brian. They were recording the night that we did the Instagram Live on Thursday, and they found a way, or they figured out the logistics behind it, to actually jump into the Instagram Live, record some of the audio between Hannah and I while we were talking about everything, and they put it out right on their episode. So right about the time we were ending our Instagram Live, they were putting out their episode of the Rope Dropping Knowledge podcast, and it already had a good chunk of the entire Instagram Live announcement that we made. So we just can't thank Brian and Tracy enough. They've stepped up and already made a massive donation, so can't thank them enough as well for that as well. Just super, super kind people. They have an excellent, excellent Disneyland-focused podcast. So if you're not already following Rope Dropping Knowledge, go check out their podcast, subscribe to them. Give them a 5-star rating, write a review for their podcast. Go look them up on Instagram, reach out to them as well, and thank them for, one, donating to the charity, and two, like I said, they were the very first people to get the word out there about this this charity organization that we're starting, and to put the word out there for the podcast Mics for Magic Instagram account as well. So cannot thank Elisa from Bashfully Ever After Co. and Tracy and Brian from the Rope Dropping Knowledge podcast for all stepping up super quickly to get the word out. And like I said, we have a whole bunch of other people that have reached out through DMs as well. We have not missed you. We have not forgot about you. Like I said, we're just getting that all organized as well. And we're going to have hopefully many more names to throw at you guys here. A lot more Instagram accounts, a lot more other podcasts out there that have been getting behind us and supporting us. And like I said, just please be patient with us. Give us some time here to kind of get everything organized. We want to be very sure we do not forget anybody, and nothing falls through the cracks here. So the only reason we're not throwing out more names tonight is we just want to make sure, like I said, we get everything organized and we don't miss anybody. So we are touched by everybody else that has reached out so far, and we give you our word, your names will get out there as well, and we will let everybody know all the amazing things that you guys have been doing to help us out and keep us be our cheerleaders behind the scenes as well. And we have some other podcasts that we're going to be going on soon to kind of help get the word out. So cannot thank everybody, like I said, for the outstanding efforts and support you've given us already right out of the gate with this new endeavor. It's going to take a lot of teamwork. But again, that's my idea behind this entire thing, is that is our key to this thing being as successful as it possibly can, is everybody buys in to the idea of teamwork makes the dream work, and everything will fall into place, and I guarantee you the magic will happen. The more people that step up, the more people that get involved, the more money we can raise, and the more successful this charity event can be for the Chalk Foundation. And like I said, if you want to do your own research, I don't blame you. We did it on our end because we knew it was going to be important to people, that they felt like they were donating to a charity that was worth the cause. By all means, punch in the Children's Hospital of Orange County and the Chalk Foundation into all the different charity rating sites that you can find out there. And I think you guys will see, you'll be just as happy as us that we picked this charity to be the one that we partner up with this on this event. So again, we'll wrap it up there for tonight for this episode of the DMSW podcast. And again, just want to thank everybody that has reached out, donated, shared, supported, put us in their stories. It just blows us away how amazing this Disney community is. And I hope we keep that ball rolling, and can't wait to get this thing a little bit more organized and really get that train rolling down these tracks here and keep these donations coming and get this fundraiser really going to the next level. So thanks again, and I will talk to you guys next week on the next episode of the DMSW podcast. Thanks so much. Take care.